You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got local, state, national, sometimes the international, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, well, it is Wednesday, 4 o'clock p.m. That means it's time for one of my favorite segments of every single week. We do a thing called the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren who have been doing this longer than I have. And so let me just take a second and call the roll. From 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville, and writing for Yellow Hammer News, Dale Jackson, are you here?
Oh.
All right, stand at ease. And then stepping over to the other side here, we got from FM Talk 106.5, the host of the Jeff Poor Show in the mornings, and also, by the way, the executive editor for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you, sir. All right, well, I pronounce a quorum. So that means, hey, Butters, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! All right. Hey, by the way, fellas, in case y'all didn't catch that, we got a rookie on the board right now. The sous chef for the studio is Butters, and he is running the board right now. So far, it's all working. All right, you know the rules. We got questions. We ask each other. We go back and forth. We ping them, and we see what we agree on and don't agree on. And I'm going to take the first one this time. So I had Anthony Daniels, State Representative Anthony Daniels from Huntsville, on the show a little while ago. He had, as a Democrat, he had the bill that cut taxes on overtime pay. Not only did he get it passed, he got it passed bipartisan, and then he got the governor to make it bigger at the last minute and send it back with a governor's amendment, which is about as rare as hen's teeth. Is Anthony Daniels going to switch parties and be a Republican and take over as Speaker of the House? And, oh, by the way, is he the player of the year? Jeff?
I said this a couple of weeks ago. I think it's between he and the Lieutenant Governor, Will Ainsworth, who are not exactly what I would call power players. Sure, they're in the mix, but they're not making the calls. Is he going to switch Republican Party? No way. I don't think so, but... I do think he is a this is a breakout year, if you will, for Leader Daniels.
I would agree with that. Dale, what do you think?
He definitely either led the parade or jumped out in front of the parade, one or the other. He was right in the middle of all these things that he worked on. I think that he will not ever switch parties because he's leadership already. And he's very young, especially politically wise. No offense, Senator Williams. But I think that we also know that he's not the MVP. The MVP is Alabama's political media outside, and I'm talking about the traditional media, let's just put it that way. They suck so bad at their actual jobs, but they're very good at pushing their agenda. That ballot harvesting is criminalizing people who are going to take their grandmother's ballot to the box, that banning kids from playing soccer on another gender's team will make them kill themselves, and all these other ridiculous things that they do. They scared Republicans. They scared them.
I don't think the media had nothing to do with it.
Please.
The media were not the reason the Republicans were scared. It was the Democrats across the aisle. The media are just – they're not even a player here, man.
They're an asset.
I'll be honest with you. I think that some portions of the media raked that bill over the coals in a way that never should have been done. But I tell you what was really there, and I agree with Jeff Moore on this one. How did we get on a second question, by the way? But I think that the reality is that truthfully – the Republicans were just scared of rocking the boat, and they all wanted to go home. And it was easier to deal with Democrats on the friendly bills like getting a beer at a food truck than it was to pass ballot harvesting, which is what they said they stood for, which is election integrity. So anyway, all right. How about that? So somewhere in there, I bragged on Democrats, and I scolded Republicans. Man, what a question. Jeff, you're next. What you got?
Well, then I kind of segue here because look at what were the Republicans scared of? They were scared of the two Democrats on the in the Senate in particular tying things up, who are just using the rules to their advantage, arguably abusing the rules, with Bobby Singleton and Roger Smitherman, and a lot of Republicans just did not want to deal with that headache and have to cloture them on every single thing. So that being said, is it time to change the rules in the Senate to better reflect what the people in the state want?
I'll jump on that. No, I don't think it's time to change the rules. I think it's time just to go ahead and own up to the fact that there's going to be uncomfortable days. I mean, the very first couple of legislative sessions when we took the majority back in 2010, I was asking Jimmy Hawley, who was a longtime senator from South Alabama down the Wiregrass area. I said, Jimmy, how many all-nighters did you pull in your 25 years down here? And he said, 4, and 3 of them were in this session. And that was because we were just committed to stay there until we got it done. It didn't happen all the time that way. But what I'm saying is, a filibuster, you're only allowed to get 2 hours per person. So unless they've got a line of people there waiting to take their turn at the microphone, the worst that's going to happen is Bobby Singleton's going to get up there and rail about the evils of racism for, 2 hours, and then you vote the bill. But you can cloture them because you got a supermajority. So just do it. Dale.
Yeah, I mean, if they wanted to do it, they absolutely could. I mean, that's the thing. This isn't for lack of knowledge or it's lack of desire. I mean, I agree with that part of it from the earlier question, but I also believe that the press is effective and they hear more from activists on the left, and that includes members of the press. It's just more about that than anything else. And these guys are just, they're very averse to negative attention, which I don't even seem to understand. Don't these guys support Donald Trump, who basically made all of his hay off of negative attention? Go for it. Burn it down, baby.
But if they were adverse to negative attention, they would be terrified of us. And they're not. They're terrified of the business community. Maybe they're a little terrified of the national media.
They're terrified of traditional media.
Well, they're not terrified of the Montgomery Advertiser, AL.com. They're just not. I don't know what you would be referring to then. But I'll say this. It is time to steamroll those guys on the Democratic side. I am tired of this. Every day you go in that chamber and you sit there and you watch Roger Smitherman talk for 2 hours. I mean, that is not – I don't know what the rules should be, and I know they'll say, well, wait till the Democrats are back in charge. The Democrats are never going to be back in charge, at least not in our lifetime. It's time to steamroll those guys, put those guys in their place, make them behave, and run that chamber like a Republican supermajority.
Well, and that's exactly right, and the truth of the matter is the Democrats are not going to get back in the majority, like you said. And so why we didn't come in with an agenda, and I've said this on the show before too. We did not come in with a true agenda, like a plan of the bills that we wanted to accomplish. And so when that happens, all you're going to do is try to keep the trains running on time and try to get everybody to work together. Well, you can get bipartisanship. Anthony Daniels proved that, but you can't always get it. And so when you can't get it, screw it. Go ahead and drop the cloture petition and vote the thing into a place where you can vote and get it done, because you're supposed to be the ones in charge.
Let me just say this, and I know I'm abusing my time here, but I don't think they want us. I don't think they want an agenda, because the agenda they would have would be something a lot of us would probably find a little odious.
I don't disagree with that. Next question before we run out of time here, Dale.
Senator Albritton says it's time to talk about gambling.
Whoop, whoop.
The day after the legislative session ends. Great timing. great timing. Is it time to talk about gambling, guys?
Here's the deal. If they want to talk about gambling, they need to talk about how they want to do it. Because the last time they brought up a bill, I said earlier on the show today, I don't care how you feel about casinos. Set that aside for a minute. That last bill they had was a monopoly bill. It was a taxation bill. It was a big government bill. It was everything Republicans say they don't stand for. And, oh, by the way, it was also gambling. So what are they going to bring? If they're going to bring that kind of a, complete distortion of who they say they are as a party, then no, it's not time. And then, by the way, I also hate the excuse, well, gambling's already here, so we just need to make sure we get some taxation off of it. Well, so is prostitution. Are you going to say that about that too? Jeff.
I don't think gambling is, it's a lot harder than it seems, and I guess it's time to talk about it. But I think what held them up this year, guys, was Ledbetter knew we had a bunch of new members, and he said that they're going to take that off the table for this year. So, yeah, it's the next session. I guess, theoretically, it is time to talk about gambling. I don't know what it's going to be, though.
Yeah, and I also, by the way, I will say this. I applaud Ledbetter for doing that, because the last thing we needed was something as contentious and as legacy difficult to deal with a third of the house being new. That would have been, I mean, that would have been like, I don't know, trying to run a gas tax bill through with all those new senators. Oh, wait, they did that. But anyway, I appreciate Ledbetter doing that. All right, that's first round. All right, Butters, we're going to a break right now. Listen, that's round one of the Grand Council. We'll come right back with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, Dale Jackson from WVNN and Yellowhammer News, and just little old me, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. All right. Hey, listen, we're going right back to the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. First question out the gate is mine, fellas. So I was going to ask whether or not Dale Jackson was going to get into the GOP primary for president with everybody else. I'll modify my question. I'll modify my question. Somebody named Dadgum or something from North Dakota has gotten in. Chris Christie got in. Mike Pence is getting in today. Are we staring at a runoff, or can Trump come out with, you know, a primary that is at 50%+? Jeff?
I think the way it'll work is Iowa and New Hampshire, what you want to watch. Even if Trump's at 50%, Those early states will shake up the race in a way that will narrow that gap. Look, I think DeSantis can win Iowa. I think Trump wins New Hampshire if it were today. South Carolina's kind of a kooky place because you got two South Carolinians in the field.
Right.
I think all this national polling right now is for just for fundraising purposes. So I don't know. I don't know if you would read too much into it.
All right. Well, take that one step further before we go to Dale. So If Trump were not in the race, who are your top three?
Oh, it's DeSantis. But watch out for Tim Scott. I think he's serious, and you got to put Pence in there just by virtue of being a former vice president.
Okay, I would agree with that. Dale, what you thinking, man?
Bergamentum. That's what I think is happening here. I don't know. Gaps closing in Iowa. That's good for DeSantis. He's got to see that. There's some money issues there with Trump. Some talk about Trump getting indicted again in the next week. Mark Meadows allegedly pled guilty to some crimes today, and we could be seeing this whole thing next kind of fall apart. And this is where they get Trump, guys. It's not that his polls are going to go up 20 more points. But, yeah, I think it's – yeah, there's a race on – like Jeff said, the national polls are what they are. It's the polls in Iowa and New Hampshire right now that matter.
Well, I heard that Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff have seen the evidence, so surely it's true.
Good.
Jeff, next question. What you got, buddy?
Back to the legislature real quick. We've already decided that they were woefully underwhelming this year. But who would you say is or are the winners of 2023?
In terms of our legislative members, you mean?
No, in terms of like who got – well, you could say members as well. I wouldn't include them, but, organizations, et cetera.
Dale, you can go first on that one. What do you think?
I already told you it's the activists. They got exactly what they wanted. They got in there and they fought. They're putting out message after message. The only dumb thing that didn't happen is the AEA declaring that they won the legislative session this year. I'll go with the activists. They stopped a lot of stuff they didn't want to see happen. The one cent off the sales tax, they get to claim victory, but they get to also collect 3 more cents on sales tax forever now.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and say the AEA probably did have a good year. Last year they said was their best year ever, but this year they got raises, they got an increase in the budget for education, even though they're last in the nation, and they were able to once again keep meaningful school choice off the table. Didn't even get a vote on the floor, and so I find that to be nauseating. But secondly, I would say probably BCA or at least some of their membership. When you see things like House Bill 298 about the porn filter on phones and the fact that the business community was fighting that, I mean, for the love. All that is just say turn it on and we can turn it back off later if you want to, but they didn't want to go down that route. So there's my two thoughts. Jeff, your question, what are you thinking?
Well, I the BCA, real quick, I think is lost. It's having an identity crisis. I don't know. Is it woke or what? What is the BCA in 2023? But I'm going to go with you, AEA. For all the reasons you said, but here's what they're going to do. They're going to go back to their membership. I think if they wanted to, they could call this a success, but maybe they don't want to gloat because they like to keep it coming. But they're going to go back to their membership calling it a success with the pay raises and holding back any kind of school choice or whatever, and keeping funding at record levels. I mean, they're going to go to their members and say, this is why you are a member of the AEA, and their members are going to go, yes, thank you, Master. And that's how it's going to go. I mean, it's just they are the winners.
All right, we got 2 minutes. Dale, what do you got?
Tucker Carlson is allegedly in breach of contract because he did a tweet yesterday that got like 70 million views or whatever. They got to pull him off? Are they going to make him stop doing Twitter videos or what? Jeff, did you text him and ask him or what?
No, he's busy these days. No, I think he's I think he knew this was coming.
I look at it and think they must have a darn good contract and the ability to get some serious monetary damages out of him, because I'm pretty sure he is solvent, and I'm also pretty sure that he can sustain in terms of the fan base. I think it was 77 million is what I saw in terms of clicks that he pulled out. And by the way, this is also going to be the litmus test for how things work for whether you can survive the loss of a network job and go out there and make. I mean, Glenn Beck's still around. But I think this is next level. I think if we see Tucker Carlson get, you know, a big win here, it's going to show the world that you can go online now and get her done. What you thought?
Also on this lawsuit, real quick, Fox News is a petty organization. This may be frivolous when it's all said and done.
Yeah, we'll see, because you know you can't keep the law says yes, you can have these kind of restrictions. You call them restrictive covenants in a contract, but you cannot restrict someone from being able to perform that which they use to make a living. And so, you know, it's got to be narrow in scope.
Even if you're still paying them.
I don't know. I have to wait and see how the contract was written.
That's how radio non-competes generally work.
Well, okay. So I guess I'll go with that lawyer right there. All right.
Hey, I don't know Tucker Carlson like Jeff, and I'm not a lawyer like you. I'm just making stuff up on the radio like I do.
All right, fellas. Appreciate you both. Good round. That was the Grand Council. That was Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show and the executive editor for 1819 News. And then Dale Jackson from 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN up in Huntsville. And also, by the way, writes for Yellowhammer News. And then little old me, we call it the Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.